What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Norton Heard the Fourth and Thaddeus Young going to join us at 1:25. Talk to them about all that's going on in the Memphis basketball scene. Let's do the rundown. I'm a little weary of starting the rundown with this because I don't know how much news it is, but we do love Ja Morant, don't we? We love Ja Morant. We always want the best for Ja Morant.
Yes.
But he was on a stream. You know, that's the new thing now. It's not even like own player media, you know? It's these guys going on these popular streamers.
Okay. Kai Sinat.
Him, you know, that whole group, AMP, Any Means Possible.
Okay.
You know, there are others, but like, you know, he has that Mafia-thon. He just had, I think, Mafia-thon 3, or maybe it's going on right now, but like, everybody's popping up at that. Draymond Green was on it, you know? So like, the whole thing is like, you go on, you want to reach kids.
I'm too old.
You want to reach like the real next generation.
Yep.
It's not radio. It's not YouTube. It's literally just the stream. Okay. It's like you go on these guys. They're playing NBA 2K. They're, you know, like that's what they're doing. And all these kids are watching. These 15, 16 year olds are watching, and that's how you reach them. I mean, it's kind of amazing how you know, it's shifted. Like, it used to be, all right, it was traditional media. Then it was like your own media, your own social media, but now it's like you got to go to do the streams. Mm-hmm. If I was a publicist, you know, for like an NBA player, I'd say, all right, we're gonna hit up Kai Sinat, we're gonna go on his stream, you know, we're gonna go get that done. If we want to like get a message out, or we're going on a redemption tour, or whatever the case may be, that kind of thing.
Right.
So I don't know who's. It seems like this streamer, he was not nearly as popular. This might have actually even been like Josh's friend. So it's not like that kind of stream, but I think the idea is like when Ja Morant is on it, people watch, right? I think this might even be his guy, Shot by Nye. Is that it? Shot by NIE? I don't know how to pronounce it, so you have to apologize. I think it's his stream though, and Ja Morant was talking on there, as you know, they're playing 2K whatever, and social media came up, and this is what Ja Morant had to say.
I don't even like IG no more, man. IG changed my life, boy.
Yeah. So if you didn't catch that, he says he doesn't even like Instagram no more. It changed his life, and you know, of course, that's where the initial gun was posted, right? Isn't that where, you know? I think that's where it was.
Twice posted.
Man,
I mean, you had the Denver thing, and then you had the thing, you know, rolling through the
right
through the suburbs with
right
Devontae, whatever the name is.
Right. Well, Pack. I mean, you know, we social media watch for Ja Morant. It sounds like he is not going to be super active on Instagram anymore. So take that for what it's worth. I feel like we've kind of gone through some, you know, some waves with Ja Morant.
This dude said he won't be on Twitter or something. And get right back on. Like, for me, Ja Morant, social media, no. but never a good idea. I don't care about. I just any alluding to it. Like we've grown. That's what this should be about. And any appearances should be done professionally about the brand. We're selling the shoes. You know, that's all I'm doing. I'm not trying to make any more mistakes if I'm John Morant.
Right.
Try to show folks how real I am.
Right. Yep.
So I just be careful. And you certainly don't want to be on there, you know, under the influence. So I hope he's making smart decisions.
Agreed.
This doesn't have to be anything. You know, hopefully it's not.
Yeah.
But I didn't listen to the whole thing. Hopefully he's not on there, you know, doing something inappropriate or saying something inappropriate.
Well, you know, again, these guys are it seems like Ja was going on this stream to help the creator kind of get their you know, get their stream off the ground, because it sounds like they only had, you know, 227 followers. So it wasn't like a huge stream. He's trying to help his guy get it off the ground. I just saw these clips posted, so I truly don't know what else was said on here. I think there was a joke that was made about the tree company with Kawhi. You know, we can't play it because there's curse in the background from the song that was playing. But nothing really, you know, he's not going on there to talk about, like, his season with the Grizzlies, right? He's not going on there to talk about, oh, I think I'm really going to thrive in Tuomas Isolo's system. You know, like, that ain't what it's about.
No, I mean, helping out a friend, no problem. Cool. Stay smart.
I think,
and by all counts, it's been a good offseason from that standpoint.
I think
making smart decisions.
I think a lot of people who are listening to this probably feel like they're so old that they can't even understand what I'm talking about, and that's understandable. You know, my job is to try to, you know, remain as young as I can. You know, I have to try because I have to still be in this arena, man. You know, I'm still in this, so I got to know what's going on with the stream. I got to know what's going on with TikTok. I got to know, you know, who's doing what. You know, but. Oh, what is a stream? Could you just come help me fix my internet? You know, like, it's just, I know a lot of people probably feeling that right now. They want to call their grandkid, help them with their Wi-Fi. Like, I understand. But these athletes, man, their methods of communication are changing. You know, it's very much direct. It's very much like, you know, in a stream, you know, the stream thing popularized probably during COVID, I would say, is probably when it started. And, you know, people have always been kind of watching. I remember when I was a kid growing up, I would watch YouTube videos of people. It wasn't live, but it would be like, you know, uploads of multiplayer Call of Duty games. Mm. You know, I used to watch those. I used to, my dad would be like, why do you want to watch other people play video games?
That's what most of us parents say. Just play the games yourself, kid.
It's like, I want to learn. I want to see like what they do. I want to see how maybe I can apply it to my gaming, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, again, streaming is different because you're watching the creators as opposed to the gameplay, but it's mostly just about like spending time with the athlete, whoever it is. Like, hey, we're just kind of watching them socialize, do whatever it is. So anyway, John Morant was on the stream. He said IG changed his life and he doesn't like it anymore. So that's your John Morant news report for Wednesday, September the 10th.
Thank you. So you mentioned his name. You mentioned, we kind of alluded to it, the tree thing, Aspiration. That's the company that apparently paid Kawhi to no-show. Tree company, I think we said it was. Listen, there's been some more reporting on this. Kawhi Leonard, not from the NBA. They're still doing their investigation. Remember, it's into whether or not Clippers owner Steve Ballmer circumvented the salary cap by funding this no-show endorsement deal for Kawhi with Aspiration through one of the Clippers' sponsors. This started with Pablo Torre finds out. Always want to give him the credit. That's who. That's what the investigation was opened after his initial report. Steve Ballmer recently said, "I didn't see this. Did you?" He recently sat down with ESPN to deny any alleged impropriety, insisting he was a victim of a scam by Aspiration. On Tuesday, a new report from Bruce Arthur of the Toronto Star indicated that if the league expands its investigation to discussions that Kawhi had previously in 2019, they'll find that Leonard's uncle had been asking for no-show deals beforehand. Now, why would that matter? In this case, it would matter. It lines up with this deal, the fact that he's asked for similar deals. And remember, here's the thing that I keeps, for me, going back to Ballmer. The money that he got and the money that Ballmer pumped into Aspiration, they match up.
Uh-huh.
Now, he is consistently denied, and I wonder if he's, you know, Ballmer, smart man, what, richest owner in the league, just built the new, what do they call it, Intuit?
Yeah, Intuit Dome.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. Everybody loves him. But I just, he has been so, I've done nothing wrong here. So yet when the, how do you explain him investing what he did into Aspiration, one of their sponsors, and it matching the money that Kawhi got? I'm not sure I can do that.
Right.
And I don't know that he's going to be able to with the NBA. But again, I still, as initially, think this won't eventually come out to much because the NBA loves Ballmer. Silver loves Ballmer. Sure, he got Donald Sterling out and got Ballmer in, and Silver's been tough, but that one was a pretty easy one with Donald Sterling. I've heard some, well, he's going to be tough here too. No, they absolutely love Ballmer. And those guys have been hand in hand at times. And so anyway, whether it's a slap on the wrist or whatever else, if there is some truth to this, I doubt there'll be a severe punishment other than a fine.
Right.
Is my point.
Yeah.
You're not taking Ballmer's team away from him.
Exactly.
If he circumvented the salary cap. They want him in the league. He's one of their favorites. And so but it is interesting to me that, you know, Kawhi had, and apparently other athletes as well. I mean, you shot these around, but his uncle had shot pretty good back in 2019, shopped around it pretty good that they wanted a type of deal like this as part of their deal.
Yeah.
So it would be weird to have a separate deal with Aspiration, who at one time was a sponsor connected to the Clippers. It would be weird to have that deal individually and the Clippers not be involved in it, and we know the Clippers pumped money into Aspiration.
Yep.
So there's just too many dots that seem to be connected to think that the Clippers wouldn't have some knowledge, and particularly perhaps, again, the mission of trying to circumvent the salary cap by paying them with this. So I need more explaining, but I've not seen his denial on ESPN, but clearly he said it every step of the way.
Right.
That he was fooled. He was bilked here by the company.
Exactly. I mean, like you said, regardless of whatever happens, it's not going to be enough to, nothing's going to come out of it.
But if his uncle is shopping around in terms of trying to re-sign with Toronto, trying to get a deal like this, why would we think that he's done one separately? Why wouldn't we think that was the same thing with the Clippers? You know, help us find these no-show deals. Pay us through that.
Yep.
So that's, like I said, his uncle, because of the way he's conducted his business, I'm sure the NBA's very interested, if not having already talked to him about this, where that money from Aspiration came from. Again, Ballmer publicly pumped money into it.
Yep.
So I don't know how he's going to be able to get out of it. Like you said, though, my guess is the punishment will still be
exactly
a slap on the wrist. A fine that you're talking about, Rich's owner,
yep,
won't be an issue.
Yep.
All right, it's everybody's favorite subject, but you know, in the backdrop of the FedEx Forum lease negotiations, I imagine this is something that the city will bring to the table. Crime's down. Crime's down in Memphis. From January through August, incidents of crime, this is from the Daily Memphian, are down 23% from 2024 and 37% from 2023. Larceny, burglary, and robbery are all at 25-year lows, according to the data. Murder was at a 6-year low from January through August, with 146 murders compared to 181 last year and 225 in 2023. Number of aggravated assaults was at a 5-year low for the first 8 months of 2025. Basically, all the major categories down. And again, it's sort of painting a picture here that across the city, Memphis Police Department is saying it's crimes at a 25-year low. That's the picture that they paint. Now, this is where you kind of run into the problem. People don't feel like that. People don't feel like, I just gave you the information. I just gave you the data, right? I just gave you the data that murders at this year low and burglars at that year low and this is at that year low. But you don't feel like that. You don't feel like when you're walking around Memphis that it's as safe as it was in 2001. And I think there's a couple of things. Like, A, we live in a time where there's just a constant assault on the facts. There's a constant assault on news media. There's a constant assault on just what we are willing to accept as the truth. Because I'm reading the comments of the Daily Memphian, and I'm just seeing it. It's like people don't believe it. People think that they're cooking the books, that they're manipulating these numbers, and you know all these different things. So I think that's, you know, I don't have the breakdowns by zip code and things like that. And so, you know, maybe in some areas it might be worse than it's been. It might be better than it's, I don't know. I don't know what, like, downtown, I don't have all those breakouts in front of me. And I think from the Grizzlies' perspective, that's what they care about. They don't care about 38117. They don't care about, you know, they care about downtown Memphis and what crime is like down there. But I do think when you can tout and say that, you know, across the board, crime in Memphis is down and at 25-year lows, it does kind of take something off the table in those negotiations. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't still beautify downtown, that we don't make it better. I mean, that's sort of a separate discussion. But I think this is, you know, I think this is a very positive picture that it's painting. And the MPD has come out and they have said, we do not and will not manipulate crime data. Our reporting to the TIBRS follows strict state and federal standards and has been fully compliant for over a decade. Every incident is classified using statewide and national definitions, subject to review and ongoing outside audits by the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. There is no systematic downgrading of crimes. Our goal is not to produce good numbers. Our goal is to reduce crime, build safer neighborhoods, and give the public the truth. For their part, TBI said they routinely audit police departments every 3 years. And that MPD is in the window for its next 3-year review and will be notified when it is scheduled. But I think, again, now you're going to get to a point where it's like, all right, I tell you that crime's at a 25-year low. You say, no, it's not. I don't feel safe. And so now what? What do we do? How do we move forward here? Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's good. That's not how I'm trying to present it because, I mean, obviously any crime is bad. The fact that there's, you know, still 146 murders through August is really sad and tragic. But again, like you're trying to sort of paint this picture of a city that is not in fact the murder capital of America, that in fact is not the heart of crime and the capital of crime in America. And I would say, Jason, that the data seems to suggest that that is the case.
Yeah, why can't it just be that? Why we got to go in the comments? Like, why can't it just be encouraging news? We certainly focus on the bad, right?
Yeah.
This, you know, we can look at the comments and they can bring up what are real things that some of these numbers might be cooked. I'm just going to go right there.
Because that's where
the murders can be cooked, but that some of these other numbers can be cooked. Obviously, the city, the police department is interested in positive optics, as positive as they can get. And so, sure, I can understand a case that would be made. Yeah, well, I feel this way. This is what I'm seeing on the news. You're telling me that. So the books are cooked. But clearly the numbers are down. Why can't we just be as comfortable with that? Hey, that's an improvement. That's good. Keep working.
Exactly.
As we do in these comfortable conversations about the negativity. Why do we have to pick through the positive part and say, oh, I doubt this? You know, and that be the subject of the conversation. The subject should be, this is good news. That should be the takeaway here. It needs to continue, obviously. You know, I just, how do we know half the people in the comments ain't just sitting out in their spot in the suburbs? And frankly, it's they ain't been to the city in a year or two.
Yeah.
I mean, again, where's the, you know, there's an anonymity in that, even though you got John P. on it or whatever your name is there. How do we know they even, what they're saying they feel, they may not want the truth is my point. So
well,
that's why
right.
I refuse to get too down worried about what the folks in the comments are saying. That's why they tell you don't read the comments. It's like you say, John, about Twitter. Sometimes it's not a true representation of how people feel.
Right.
You get 10 comments on Twitter, you think the whole population feels that way. It's absolutely false. Those are the fools that want to get on and say something. The normal people ain't saying anything on Twitter because they realize, why would I get on that cesspool at this point?
That's right.
Those are the folks that are jumping. You see what I mean? Brad's over there nodding. Y'all feel
100%,
me on this.
I totally feel you.
Well,
takeaway should be a positive. We should feel good about this conversation. But we should know, too, what you said and shouldn't feel uncomfortable. Still got to have, you know, more work's got to be done.
Yes.
A lot more work's got to be done.
I would ask people to use their critical thinking skills, right? Understand that the Memphis Police Department is not saying that crime has been erased from Memphis. Like, that's not, but it is possible for crime to still exist and to be less rampant than it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, right? And that is still something that celebrating, you know, again, celebrating high, you know, it was at a peak and now it's still high, but it's down. You know, I don't know if I'd say celebrate is the right, you know, but definitely acknowledge that maybe your and this is where it gets sideways because people aren't willing, you know, to accept the truth sometimes.
Well, there's also I don't want to say a paranoia, because it is unsafe in some areas. Crime is high in some areas, but there's almost the only word that's out there is how unsafe Memphis is. It needs the National Guard, everything else.
Exactly.
So if you have stats.
Well, the FBI has talked about Memphis, yeah, and President Trump has talked about Memphis.
But we have no National Guard here, do we?
We do not.
No, it's in other cities. But that's my point, is that so many of us are so focused on crime. This is how people feel, right? We're not even willing to listen to this positive news that is obviously progress, because you want to keep the chaos going on.
Yep.
You know, maybe even some instances where you haven't even been to the city. You live outside the city and you're speaking for what's happening inside the city. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
You're reading the comments and you're making that perspective, right, the reality. We talk about that perception. We've talked about a lot of times perception is reality. A lot of times it isn't. And I think here there can be progress, absolutely. Maybe not to the degree that needs to be, but there can be a bottom line takeaway of this is good for Memphis, right? This, yep, doesn't have to be politics or anything else.
Yep.
The numbers are down. They need to come down more. Like, you don't stop the work. Exactly. Now, because you've got, what, a 25, what'd you say it was, 25-year crime low?
How? Yeah.
You don't stop the work. But my point is, you needed your part of the story out, too, when the only story that's out there is how bad it is.
Right.
And the story is, we're working on it, it's improving. You know, ultimately, this ain't about getting the Grizzlies to sign a lease, it's about making our city better.
Right.
You know, it's all about all of us feeling safe. But don't act like we don't have some folks that love the chaos, that love the mess, and want to keep it up and tell you how bad Memphis is.
There's no doubt.
And we'll do it right in the face of things, people that say Memphis isn't.
Absolutely
that,
right.
What you're making it out to
you
be.
You know, there is such a, and I can't really understand it. There's such a, you know, masochistic enjoyment.
Folks like, a lot of folks, yes. And I would kind of, like I said it, a lot of folks like mess.
And it may be racially motivated. I think that could absolutely explain some of it. That people don't want to see a majority black city thrive. Certain people don't want to see that. They only want to believe that a majority black city could be a place for, lawlessness and crime and murder and things along those lines. I think that's absolutely, if you ask me to like really boil it down and strip it all away, I think that's a big part of it. But then you have the numbers and you have the facts. And sometimes, you know, this is just sort of going through this life as a human being. You know, if you have an anecdotal experience that happens to you, right? If you're somebody that is walking down the street and you get mugged, right? Your interpretation of that place is going to be that this is an absolute hellhole, and this is a place of, this is the murder capital. I mean, it happened to me. But like, there's the point is that you and I have walked downtown many, many times. And nothing has ever happened to us, right? And so our experience is, it's fine. Like, it's safe. So, it's you know, it does happen. Unfortunately, you can be unlucky, and it can happen to you. But the point is, from a numerical and a probability standpoint, it's happening much less in Memphis today than it has in 25 years. And so I think but people can't separate those two things. And I understand it's difficult to do if it happens to you. I've been, you know, if you've been car, I mean, hell, I was carjacked when I was, you know, I wasn't really carjacked. It was more of a car theft. I kind of left the door open for the guy to take it. Mm. All right. I was hoodwinked, bamboozled, run amok, you know, but I didn't come away from that thinking that, you know, oh man, Memphis is just, there's no hope for this, but it was my dumb ass fault. I mean, you know, I'm the one left damn keys in the car, door open. I mean, I kind of was asking for it, but I didn't come away thinking anything about Memphis. But again, people have a rooting interest against it in a lot of cases. And there's no amount of data, and there's no amount of progress that you can show some people for them to believe it. And you just have to live with that, you know? But I think if I was Paul Young, I'd say, hey man, 25-year low. So what's this really about? What's this really about, man? Why don't we have this lease renegotiated? What's this really about? Crime down. Just tell me, what do we need to do? So I would take. I'll
give them the MLGW building.
All right, we'll give them any other building. I'll give them some more buildings.
There you go.
I'll give them the Alchimia building.
Would you give them the whole Beale Street?
I would give the Grizzlies pretty much any property they asked for, to be honest. you know, I would give them you know, like I said, I'd give them the Alchimia building. You know, I'd give them some extended stays. Whatever they really want, I'm willing to give them. They can rename that beautiful Southwest campus there off Sycamore View and Macon, back in my old, you know, neighborhood. They want that, I'll give them that. They can be like a training facility if they need it. Just whatever. I mean, I'm willing to sign over pretty much the entire just because the stakes. But I do think from the crowd perspective, it's like, all right, we can kind of start to check that box off a little bit, you know, because this is going the right direction. So, yeah, no, if you want to get if it's all about that MLGW building, man, fine. We could change the G in the MLGW to Grizzly. Memphis Light, Grizz and Water. I mean, I don't care, you know. But I guess maybe the city has some things that – but I would say just, you know, don't push, you know. I mean, I understand you have to have some self-respect, but you're not Denver.
Right.
See the news in Denver yesterday?
What news?
There's a brand new – they're going to build a brand new stadium in Denver for the Broncos. And none of it will be paid for by taxpayers. It will be completely covered by the Denver ownership group. But that's because that's Denver. You're not Denver. You know, you're not that market. You know, you gotta understand your place a little bit in the hierarchy. So we gotta pay some taxes. That's fine. Well, so you know, but we have to remain a pro city. And that's just the bottom line. For the economy, for the commerce, for everything, for downtown, we have to remain a pro city. Because you take that away, you strip that away. And I do these numbers that we're all talking about today, you know, all the progress that we've made, I feel like it will completely be undone.
I did see where the Spurs are going to get a new arena paid for by the city in San Antonio. It looks like.
Right, but San Antonio. I mean, you know, you can't, it's not a desirable place to be. So the ownership group's not going to lift a finger for that.
No.
What made the Denver news remarkable is that the ownership group's doing it.
That's right.
They're paying for it.
Yep.
You know, even Nashville's not, the ownership group's not paying for
Hell
it.
Hell no.
I think they're chipping in some.
$500 million, I think.
Like, yeah, like half a.
Okay. I mean, that's more than Memphis.
I think that's the number.
Yeah.
I mean, but not the majority of it.
Right.
I mean, you got, I think, a part, you know, it's a pretty fourth of it, a quarter of it.
Right.
It feels
like. Pretty remarkable that a market is so desirable that an ownership group and relationship with that city is so strong that they're willing to pay the whole thing.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty I mean, even OKC didn't get that, right? OKC, I want to say, they was taxed.
Theirs is mostly taxpayer funded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, most.
Thought there was
most,
like a little small, here's a little quarter from the ownership group in that.
That's what you're waiting on with Grizz. That little, penny in the fountain over there.
Parish should do something. I mean, just in good faith.
Exactly.
You know, because that we're all, that this is truly a hand-in-hand thing. However, like I say, they pay those operating costs that they're already paying.
Yeah.
Pretty darn high. That they take instead of the taxpayers.
So in Oklahoma City, it's $900 million, but only 50 is the contribution by that owner.
Literally a quarter.
Yeah, it's just throw it in the little bucket there, Keith.
But so the forum renovations are only like 300, right?
No, they're 500.
They're 500? Okay.
Yeah.
So if they $25 million is what you'd like to see, just based on that,
I don't have a number for. Just give us as much as you can. How about that? No.
Well, yeah.
You're saying for para?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give us as much. I don't want to put a number on it.
All right.
I don't want to put a ceiling on it.
What does it matter that his stock is up 2.73% today?
Again.
And 32.27% in the last month.
Again, we have very little leverage in this. Can't afford for them to leave. Franchise worth more if it does?
Yes.
Anything he gives at this point, we'll take.
If you invested into Ubiquity in April 2024, your investment would have been up essentially six times. Wow.
I did talk to somebody about this yesterday. I think I feel comfortable that, like, a lot of people have said this Nashville thing. That isn't going to happen, in my view, because the state won't let that happen. Even though the state isn't always in Memphis's corner, they're not going to let you go within state just from the optics of it. I just don't see that happening.
There's zero chance that the Grizzlies would move to Nashville.
Yeah.
That's
out there in the ether, though. That's the only reason I bring it into this conversation. People have kept saying that. I'm like, it's not happening.
No.
It would move to
Vegas or Seattle.
Yeah.
It would not be Nashville.
That's not happening.
That's little solace, though.
No, it's I mean, very I, little I solid. But there's this segment. Maybe it's the same people who talk about crime, who bring up Nashville.
Right.
This palace on the hill. By the way, sometimes it's not. And you know the states, that ain't happening.
No, because I mean the state, from the state's perspective, that's why they release the money, right? Because they know
it's on them
that if Memphis loses its status as a pro city, what becomes of the tax paying base in Memphis?
That's right.
I mean it shrinks.
Yeah,
I mean, and so you know, everybody, you know, there's an investment in Memphis. There's no, I mean, it's the second largest city in the state, so you have
That's
to,
right.
you have to invest in Memphis in some way and make sure that they, you know, you do what you can to keep that base at, you know, where it's at, and maybe someday even grow it. But no, it would be Vegas, Seattle, which they can move to Timbuktu, they can move to Kalamazoo. I don't give a damn. They move, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an absolute wrap. So hopefully this news from the Daily Memphian will be, you know, a step in the right direction in terms of, you know, getting this done and building back better. No doubt about that.
Tennessee women's soccer. Congrats to you. You are number one in the country for the first time in program history. This is going to matter to all of us, not just Tennessee fans, so bear with me. But at 6-0-1. They are now number one in the country, and as I mentioned, it's the first ever time for the Vols. So Joe Kurt, this Joe Kurt era, he is their head coach, has certainly proved to be a fruitful one, best ever, at least so far in the regular season. Here's the thing about them. They haven't allowed a goal so far this season, and they didn't against Memphis last week. A Memphis team that held them to a 0-0 draw,
yep,
and has now moved, and John and I predicted this and that they should. Remember, Tennessee was number two at the time, now number one. We said Memphis would move up and should move up, going 0-0 with a team that hadn't given up a goal all season. It outscored opponents 18-0. Remember, Memphis kept Tennessee scoreless in that one. Memphis is the one on that 6-0-1 for Tennessee, and they move up from 14 to number 10. So again, and we should constantly be talking about this and have it at the forefront. Brooks Monaghan with a team, basically, he's been there for a quarter century. This is the youngest team he's ever had. It wasn't supposed to be this good this quickly, this good this year. Even he told us as much last year. He's been surprised. They have the same record as Tennessee at 6-0-1, and you have that draw now with the number one team in the country. So congrats to all involved, Vols fans, Memphis fans. We are both top 10 women's soccer programs.
That's amazing.
Featured in a match last week right there on the Park Avenue campus. No, it's there is, I mean, Memphis women's soccer is as big time in terms of around here in college athletics as it gets. They have a national program over there. They're getting a new stadium. They've long deserved it. And speed up that stadium. Get that, frankly, you know, they deserve it. Get that thing done as quickly as possible. To reward this team for a team that's a program that's long deserved it. We mentioned it. Brooks has built this thing from the ground up, 25, 26 years in,
yep,
and number 10 in the country, and undefeated in non-con.
Congrats to all involved. No doubt about that. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Norton Hurd IV, Thad Young going to join us at 105. I was saying 125. We're going to get them for much longer than anticipated on my end. They're going to be here with us in the entire third hour. So stick around. Don't miss it. Jason and John on Turn FM, ESPN. The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is here for you. If you're buying or selling a home, make sure you get them on your team. They're the best. They know how to price homes accurately, fairly, honestly, so that, you know, you can actually sell it, get you the most money for it. A lot of real estate agents, a lot of realtors, they don't really care. They'll just waste your time. Oh, yeah, we price it whatever you want. No problem. Yeah. And then it won't sell, and then you have to reprice, and then it just looks bad. Got to reach out to Live Love Group, sold at livelovebusiness.com.
Sure does look bad for everybody involved. And the belief starts to drop. So get with somebody you can believe in from the get-go. It's going to price it right from the get-go, and it's got you on the other side as well, should you need the help finding your dream home. Not going to have you buying in a bad spot. 901-625-5200 is what I did in 2018. My life's forever been changed. That's not an exaggeration. Jennifer really does that. And we're still connected. And if Faith and I ever move again, you can bet I'm calling 901-625-5200. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
We have another sports betting scandal.
Oh.
And this is not just an investigation. This is a verdict. You know, but right now we have like some open investigations right now. The Cleveland Guardians, we're still waiting on to hear from them.
That's right.
Malik Beasley, we're still kind of waiting on to hear. That investigation's still open.
I thought Beasley was free. That's just what his attorney said?
Yeah, I think I saw a headline today. It said NBA investigating those allegations still. So,
really?
Yeah. Its own investigation. So, they're still working through that. Here is the news. Three college basketball players were found to be gambling on games that they were involved in. Fresno State forward Michael Robinson, San Jose State guard Steven Vasquez, Fresno State guard Jalen Weaver, permanently ineligible. due to gambling violations and no longer enrolled at their school. Robinson and Vasquez, even though they were on different teams when this was happening, they were roommates at Fresno the year before, right?
Wow.
And so basically what happened was Robinson and Vasquez, again, on different teams at this point, conspired to bet on Robinson underperforming during a January 7th game between Fresno State and Colorado State. Three prop bets totaling $2,200 were placed on the under on Robinson's stats. Those bets, had they won, would net $15,950. And they won. During the game, Michael Robinson had 3 points, 2 rebounds, 1 3, no assists to ensure that the unders all got home. So they discovered that, and immediately, deemed him ineligible. So Robinson last played for Fresno State on January 11th against Nevada. So I guess that there was, after that all kind of got flagged, he was investigating. ESPN reported in February that the NCAA and Fresno State were investigating whether two men's basketball players had played in contests based on their own performances. So there you go. Robinson is, it's amazing that you bet on your own under and it won $16,000. I don't know if this is out there publicly, but, the word is that Robinson's mom might even have been involved in that. So it was like a family ordeal. So
good grief.
I mean, this, you just wonder. I mean, Fresno State and Colorado State are not, small schools. I mean, they are, but they're not.
Who were the schools? I thought it was, you said San Jose and Fresno?
Yeah.
Okay, not Colorado. Yeah. The Mountain West. Yeah, I thought you just said Colorado State.
Yeah. San Jose State, that was the game that happened.
Got it.
Yeah. So it's kind of confusing because San Jose State is in this, but only because Steven Vasquez transferred to San Jose State. He was at Fresno, and they were teammates, and that's where they built the relationship up. So I guess it was Vasquez kind of masterminding it. I don't know. But Robinson in that game, did underperform, and the investigation determined that he, in fact, that it was manipulated. So, this is a, for 16 grand. I mean, that's the thing. It's like it's not even life-changing money. It's a good night. It's a great night. It's an all-time night. But it's not life-changing money for you. And now your college career is over. It's ruined. Your basketball. What are you going to, So it's just, I would just tell these kids it's not worth it. Because, by the way, you're always going to get caught. You're always going to get, you can't get around this. If there's a bet of that magnitude coming in on a Fresno State player's unders, it's just going to get flagged. Whether you're cheating or not, it's going to get flagged. So, any amount of money that you think you can make from this, don't. It's just not worth your career. And I hope that, these investigations and these consequences will show people that that's the case.
There should not be prop bets allowed in college athletics. You're inviting this, and you continually will, because you can say this money's not life-changing, and it's not, but college athletes who don't, in most cases, aren't going to have the professional path are going to be more willing to take these risks. And if you've got something that they can control, which are prop bets, not a one-loss outcome, not a spread, you're going to continually have this be opened up to this. I mean, this is Pandora's box.
Yep.
We should have known it when we did it, that if you're going to do this in college, remember what our bookie said. Remember, we discussed this with him.
Yep.
Mizuhara's bookie.
Matthew Boyer.
Thank you. I wanted to get his name. He said, when he talked about, he believes a lot of guys are betting on sports, professional athletes and everything else. I think he said 50% of them. He said the majority of them, no, maybe it was higher than that. Majority of them not betting on their own sport. He thought maybe 3%. And he said that would be the guys that are making the lower tier contracts. He said he's not the Malik Beasleys because there's so much at risk. And so for those guys, prop bets you don't worry about because there's too much. For college athletes, whom the majority of whom will not become those professional athletes, you cannot have this temptation. The NCAA president said it's been one of the few things, former, I think, one of the few things that he said going, that's been hit the nail on the head in these current days and times. Take that out. Take the prop bet out. Keep your spreads. Keep your one loss.
We don't have, I don't know, how many states is it? Some states don't do prop bets right. in college athletics.
Right.
So this isn't something that's going on across the board. Shut it down across the board. It's the way it should be. You're not inviting this then. College athletes can't handle it.
Agreed.
This temptation.
I agree.
You're not ever going to be able to cut it off with some, oh, we're taking away your college eligibility. So what? The next 13th man, 14th man that gets in, 10th man maybe, will be willing to try it and see if he can get away with it. That's what I'm saying, man. So you got too many of these college kids that are in need, willing to take the risk. Get the prop bets out. That's the way you fix it.
I think that's not a bad.
Believe me, the D-gens will find something else. The folks that complain, ah, you're taking my prop bets on college, you'll find something else. Go bet Eurobasket or something.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. I think that.
So we don't care. Again.
I mean, leave Eurobasket alone, man. You know, you take away my Eurobasket, we riot.
In a way, it's kind of like leaving the store open overnight and asking people not to come in and take from it.
Look, I don't bet college
props. The prop bet part of this for college kids.
But I guess, you know, I think it's a net negative to have college props because these kids get harassed, you know, beyond yes. this, the fixing of the games, you know.
And they're less prepared to deal with right. that harassment than a professional athlete would be.
Yep. Yep.
So you're talking about mental health and I mean, all kinds
you know,
of stuff.
And pro athletes, you know, Lamar Jackson's making $70 million a year, whatever it is, right? Like, he can deal with it. If he underperforms, he can deal with it. That's the life he chose.
Or what comes with being a professional athlete.
But, you know, I think about, you know, I actually did have this thought. Like, if someday my son was a one percenter and he was a college basketball player and he was responsible for, like, a bet not winning, like if he missed a free throw or something along those lines. You know, like you put yourself in those positions as a parent. You're like, I don't want my child to have to read that. Or, he's a player at freaking Monmouth. You know, we're not talking about the Houston's, Florida's. We're talking about the, you know, the Fresno States of the world, man. Now, again, they were doing this on their own. But it's like, at what point do you say, like, let's get a grip?
Yeah.
You know, let's get a grip. I think it can be a slippery slope when you start deciding what bets to take and not take, but I do think college props is limited enough, and it's not available in enough states where if you did take it away,
you already got it cut off in some states,
right?
Because you can't do it here, right? In Tennessee, you can't do college prop bets.
You cannot.
I can't bet on PJ Haggerty's over.
That's right.
Last year.
That's right.
That's the way it should be.
And you know, we're because the bottom line is these kids can't handle it either for themselves. To not rig the game for themselves, or you know, to handle what comes their way if they underperform. I mean, I think that's the I would agree with that. I think that's is it perfect? No, but I think there has to be a solution because you don't want people to feel like, I mean, imagine if you're somebody that's betting on the game fairly, you know, and it's rigged. I mean, the game is being fixed by the players involved.
Imagine that.
If you bet Fresno State versus Colorado State, it was. You know, I don't know what the final score of the game was. It'd be interesting to see. But imagine you had Fresno State in that game because you thought the number was too big, and then they end up getting their ass kicked because this guy is literally fixing points, you know, shaving points. I mean, it's a problem. It's a real problem. It was 91-64, Colorado State. I guarantee you that Colorado State was not a 27-point favorite against Fresno State in that game. And Michael Robinson played 21 minutes. He was, you know, a real rotation player on the team. And he sucked intentionally. So, I mean, I think that's the part of it that, you know, you just really have to try to fix and snuff out. And again, you're going to get caught. If you're a college athlete doing this, you're going to get caught. You cannot wager $2,000 at a regulated sports book to win $15,000 on unders and not get caught. Period. End of story. So
I think you cannot expect college athletes not to try to take, you know, try to abuse the system.
Right.
When, you know, all that's at stake is their eligibility. In many cases, the pressure, whether it's from family, their own, whatever, is going to be greater. Take the props out. It's not, like you said, maybe it's not a perfect solution, but it's as close to one as you can get.
Right.
And we're already doing it. In a majority, I don't know about a majority, but in many states.
Right.
How many is it? What's the breakdown? We don't have like a 50
that offer props.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody studied that, right?
I don't think there's a ton. I think there's a ton of schools that states that offer college.
So it would be the majority then that don't. What I was saying earlier, I can
the majority
go back.
Do not.
The majority do not.
Yeah, Tennessee doesn't. Arizona doesn't. You know,
come on, man.
Florida. I don't think Florida does because they only have one sports book there anyway. So, you know, you're not going to get a ton of it, but there are some. You know, there are some that I think Nevada does. So if you had somebody in Vegas, you could do that there. I don't know. But I think, again, the rub is let's just take it out. Let's take it out. Let's try to sniff out as much as we can. All right, we'll come back. Thad Young, Norton Hurd IV going to join us. We'll talk to them about all the basketball goings on in Memphis and more. Stick around. Jason and John, Audio Channel FM, ESPN.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.